I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 for our scripture reading this morning. If you're using our Pew Bibles, you'll find that it is on page 1170, or at least it begins there, and continues on to the next page, 1171. Technology today, the ever-present media, 24 hours news cycle, and global in its scope ensures that wherever there is calamity, we know about it almost immediately. Someone's life and someone's world is being shaken nearly every moment of every day, and the difference for us today is that we know about it almost immediately. And it comes in many different forms, this calamity, natural disasters. This past week in Oklahoma, there was an EF5 tornado, which means the winds sustained were over 200 miles an hour. And in some sense, miraculously, only 24 people were lost, seven of them children. And that is a tragedy. So that is a shaking of a sort. We have had over the last couple of years earthquakes in Haiti and in Japan and in Pakistan and in other places, a tsunami in Japan accompanying it. Sometime before that, another tsunami in Indonesia, which makes clear that in a moment, lives can be lost, even hundreds of thousands of lives in a very short period of time. There are man-made disasters. Just a couple of weeks ago, a multi-story factory collapsed, and something over 1,000 people were lost in just moments. There are financial disasters, personal, national, global, that go on to shake our world. We're in the midst of, and will continue to be, it seems if we read the scriptures, a moral and ethical disaster where man continues to move away from God even further and further, and including in the church, assumptions that we once could make here in North America and in elsewhere that basically was based on a biblical Christian worldview cannot any longer be made, even in the church, it seems. These are all reminders that our circumstances and this life and this world are quite easily shaken, but not the kingdom of God. Here, the book of Hebrews in general was given, firstly, to reveal the position, the role of Jesus as the culmination and fulfillment of all of the promises to God's people in Old Testament scripture. That's its primary purpose, to reveal Jesus as both high priest and sacrifice on behalf of God's people. It also serves to remind us that if we belong to God in Christ Jesus, we are not only citizens of this world, which can be shaken quite easily, and the evidence is ever before us, but we are, more importantly, citizens of God's kingdom, which cannot be shaken quite beyond our circumstances in this life. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll begin reading from verse 14, there's a contrast that's being made between the shaking that went on at Mount Sinai, and that shaking was a result of the intervention and presence of Almighty God in human history, and that being contrasted with another sort of shaking that will happen when he returns again and for the final time to reign as sovereign Lord. Look with me there from chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 14 through the end of the chapter. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless us by the reading of his word from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 29. Let's pray together. God, our Father, there is evidence all around us and every day, perhaps even virtually every hour, that we are but a whisper, a wisp, a breath. And our lives and our world can be shaken easily and quickly. I pray, Lord, this morning that this will move us to depend upon a greater kingdom and a greater citizenship, one that cannot be shaken, one that is secure, one that is found only by your grace in your Son through our faith. May we make Jesus the central figure of our lives, of our families, of our ministry. May we allow him to reign over us and in us and through us, for he alone is our King. He is our Savior. He is our risen Lord. May we be people who stand when others are falling away. In Jesus' name, amen.